Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Tuesday, August 22nd, 2016, and I want to welcome you to We Get Results. I'm your host, Mary Singer Albertson. After this introduction will be a rebroadcast of part of a previous show on a very important topic, mass incarceration in the United States. It first aired on August 25th, 2015. We have some good news on this topic. The Supreme Court has ruled not to use private prisons at the federal level. Hopefully that will go down into the state and county level also. Well, that's a piece of good news. In 40 years, our prison population has increased 600%, while general population is only up 55%. One in 28 children have a parent in prison. That, to me, is a really big shock, a huge number. And one in nine black children have a parent in prison. My guest, Sue Ellen Allen, learned so much from the 7 years she was incarcerated at age 57 and endured the pain of breast cancer and double mastectomies alone. Not even a minister was allowed to visit her. She has used her experience to work on programs to help women who are incarcerated and on ways for them to survive when they're released from prison. Sue Ellen founded Gina's Team along with her cellmate's parents after her cellmate Gina died in prison from lack of good health care. Because of so many imprisoned parents and children who are having a horrible time with all of this, you know, and don't understand what's going on, Sesame Street has introduced a Muppet, Alex, with an imprisoned father to address this terrible, you know, thing that's going on right now for the children. We need to be advocates for the children of the imprisoned. They are the truly disadvantaged of all our nation's children. The formerly incarcerated parents are banned from federal social welfare programs, such as food stamps, which is a SNAP program, vouchers for rental housing, apartments in public housing. In some states, prevent parents with felonies from voting and obtaining employment licenses for jobs like truck drivers or barbers. Sue Ellen wrote a letter to the president every year, and her letter was picked to give to President Obama to read recently. She was invited to the White House to sit in Michelle Obama's box for the State of the Union address in January 2016. Here is what she said about being chosen to represent people incarcerated and those released. And we know we have much work to do on mass incarceration. Here is what she said. My letter to President Obama wasn't just about me. It was representative of all the voiceless, faceless women and men behind bars. The men President Obama visited with in prison were also representative of those same women and men forgotten in our prison system. My journey to prison gave me a passion and a purpose I never expected. I'm living that purpose now, and my letter reflected that. Do you have a passion? Write letters to the president, the governor, your legislators, the heads of companies, hospitals, and most important, to the people you love. Real letters on heavy cream paper, and don't give up. Letters have the power. Letters have power and give you a voice you might not, you would not have otherwise. Who knows, you might be invited to the White House for the price of a stamp. So thank you for that, Sue Ellen. And if you want to read more about what Sue Ellen's time in prison was like, which was a horrible experience, but we need to know what's going on, read her book, The Slumber Party from Hell. You can visit Gina's Team on Facebook and their website. Who should you write to make a difference? So here is Sue Ellen's interview, but I also want to tell you that if you want to work on things to do with poverty, that would include what we've just been talking about, and keeping food stamps from being cut, keeping Head Start from being cut, keeping tax credits from being cut, and things around the world also. Join Results to meet with Congress on ending poverty and hunger. Go to www.results.org. So I want to thank you, Sue Ellen, for your important work for those who have no voice. Thank you. We're all grateful, and we hope things will change soon. Take care, everyone. Here is the broadcast.
Today we're discussing an extremely important topic, which I feel is linked to people in poverty who are desperate to feed their families and often end up in prison. There are 2 million people incarcerated in the U.S. The incarceration rate in the U.S. is the highest in the world. Many countries are closing their prisons while the U.S. is building prisons, and for-profit prisons are making huge amounts of money incarcerating people and keeping them there for a long time. Long sentences for nonviolent crimes is the norm. We have a school-to-prison pipeline that must stop. We need prevention programs and education. And today we will be discussing incarceration in the U.S. and some programs that are in place now, what's happening, what's needed, and how we can help and how we can make a difference. So I have two very special guests today, and I'd like to introduce you to the first one, who is Sue Ellen Allen. Sue Ellen is an author, speaker, and prison expert who found her passion and purpose in prison. As the co-founder and executive director for GINA's team, she brings a leadership program into women's prisons and juvenile facilities to encourage the women to find their own purpose and upon their release to become taxpayers rather than tax burdens. GINA's team's most significant program, through collaboration with Athena International, brings the Athena leadership model inside the wires, impacting lives in unexpected and powerful ways, both inside and upon reentry. As a result of this program, the recidivism rate for the graduates is significantly less than the 60% state and nationwide within the Department of Corrections. They offer a welcome back reentry program for their graduates that addresses the serious problem that costs society both in humanity and in tax dollars. Additionally, GINA's team conducts a monthly educational program at Mingus Mountain Academy in Prescott, Arizona, inspiring the girls from 12 to 18 who are rebuilding their lives. And Sue Ellen has a memoir about prison life, and the book is called The Slumber Party from Hell. And she's a leader in sparking the conversation about the cost America faces as the world's incarceration nation, both in tax dollars and in human lives. So we are very pleased to welcome Sue Ellen to the program. Sue Ellen, are you there?
I'm here. I'm so happy to be here. I love what you're doing. We all need to get results.
Well, thank you so much, Sue Ellen. And I know you just came from an important meeting. I hope that went well today.
Oh, it went very well. Lots of very important judges and lawyers, and I was the voice at the table for ex-felons. It was an honor and privilege to be there. We need to have more of those experiences.
Well, I'm glad you did. So you go, girl. I'm sure
you're making a big difference.
So anyway, we want to let me hang on a minute here because something happened to my sheet. So I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, your organization, and
I want to check with you about
the new bill that's coming out, and I want you to talk about that. And
well, prison's a hot topic right now, Mary. It's a hot topic.
Yeah, for sure. I know it is. And I'm maybe you can start by telling, I know you were 57 when you were in prison and had quite serious breast cancer at the time?
I was. Yes, I was. Well, you know, I went to prison at 57 for securities fraud, and my knowledge of prison was from the movies and television, and then I discovered it wasn't really like that at all. if you had told me what I was going to see and what I was going to experience and how people are treated inside, I would have said, not in our country. We don't treat people that way. But I was wrong. We do. It was a huge eye-opener. If you had told me about the women I was going to meet, about their lives and their experiences, I would not have believed that such suffering was possible or common in America. But I was wrong. It is. 75% of the women in prison are survivors of domestic violence. These women that I met have been abused mentally, physically, sexually, many of them as very young children. They were so many victims of incest. That's America's dirty little secret. And it made me realize even more how blessed I am to have the life I have had. Mary, prison for me was a gift. It didn't come in a Tiffany box. It wasn't blue with a white bow. And I certainly didn't want to open it. But nevertheless, it was a great gift.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't. It sounds so horrific that you had to go through that, you know, all by yourself, and go through everything with treatment and all of that. And why don't you tell us a little bit more about that? And I'm going to retrieve the rest of my questions for you right here.
Okay. Well, I went into prison with stage 3B breast cancer. I went to my mastectomy, belly chained and shackled. I was completely alone. Nobody to visit, no visitors allowed, not even a pastor or a minister, a priest, nobody. I watched my cellmate die a horrible death of myeloid leukemia because she couldn't get a blood test to find out why she was so sick. The prison medical denied her. And it's crazy. Some people say, well, how can you call that a gift? That is, you are crazy. It was a gift of awakening. It was the gift of purpose and a gift of gratitude. I was exposed to so many different kinds of people. So many different crimes, addiction, prostitution, DUI, shoplifting, burglary, sex offenses, and murder. It was an ocean of offenses and horrible grief and misery, and like ocean waves just rolling around. These women came from great poverty, and you talk about poverty. They had such hard lives starting when they were born. And their lives followed that pattern of poverty, drugs and dropouts and homelessness and bad choices in men, especially bad choices in men, and abuse and teen pregnancy. And then the cycle goes around until we are just, society is dizzy with what it costs us financially. But it's what costs us as human beings. I don't think we even realize. We can look at the numbers, but I don't think people realize until they look in the eye of somebody that's a victim.
Yeah. And then, like you said, I think, you know, no one really thinks about how much it's costing to incarcerate people, and that's not helping them. We need to be spending the money on education and other programs that will help them, so we don't have them coming back in and back in again. And
well, here's an example. My cellmate Gina was in prison for a $3,000 crime related to drugs and a bad choice in men. So she got 3.5 years. This was her first offense. She got 3.5 years. And at $25,000 a year, that sentence cost the taxpayer $87,500 for a $3,000 crime. But that wasn't all of it, because that didn't include the cost of police, the cost of jail, the cost of courts, the cost of probation or parole. That was just incarceration. So you're really looking at it probably $150,000 for a $3,000 crime. And where does that make sense?
It doesn't.
I can't, you know, it doesn't.
Yeah, and you feel like possibly until you know about all this, that when people go and they are incarcerated, that there are some programs in there that are helping them, or they get to do something to do with education, or they're not just sitting there, you know. And I think that, you know, you're doing some great things, and I want you to tell me about that. And you mentioned Gina, your cellmate. Did you want to talk about Diane too?
Thank you. Well, Diane is another one. I'll focus on, Yes, I'll talk about Mary instead. You, Mary, but another Mary.
Okay.
She was a young woman in her 20s that all the girls called freak. And I told my cellmate at the time, it was after Gina had died, and I said, why do you call that? That's horrible. And she's a pretty attractive young woman. And she said, well, she just acts freaky. Go around her and she acts freaky. So I did. I went and talked to her. And I found out that she had been raped by all the men in her family, starting with her father, her brothers, her uncles. And when she was 12, she got pregnant with her father's child. And she had given birth to a little boy who was effectively her son and her brother. Now, I couldn't wrap my mind around this, Mary. I couldn't even begin to understand this. And then I found out that that's not uncommon, that this is happening. I learned so much in prison. I learned about how enormous the industry is. It's just huge. And I learned that in 40 years, now get this, in 40 years, our prison population has gone up about 600%. But our general population across America has gone up 55%. Now, population goes up 55%, prison population 600%. That's just stupid, you know, because that cost, that takes away, the FBI says it's unsustainable. It takes away from serious crime fighting. And you mentioned before, we have this pipeline to prison. But Mary, did you know that in America, in our country, one in 28 children has a parent in prison? Did you know that? That is shameful. I mean, shame on us. One in 28 children. And you talk about poverty. It's unbelievable. But if the Pew, you can check it on the Pew Foundation. You can check it out. Your listeners can go to the Pew Foundation and just Google 1 in 28. That is a direct line to poverty. Those children are hungry. They're not being cared for. They're not. There's so much involved in that. We talk about, our politicians talk about family values, but we are doing nothing to keep our families together. It is very, very serious. So with those odds, what in the world could I do? I mean, I'm just a little person here, you know, but I was lucky. I knew what was needed, and I knew the people in prison because I'd been there for 7 years. So I sort of had a crazy entree, and I made a proposal to the Department of Corrections, and it was accepted. And we started with a speaker series, and we continued with collaborating with Athena International to have teach the Athena leadership model inside. And our graduates get to go to book clubs, the first book club in an Arizona prison, and not many in the country. And then this summer, we were accepted to be a part of the Clinton Global Initiative in Denver, where we made a commitment to a welcome back program for our graduates. In 2 weeks, we're going to start our 14th class of 50 women. It's a 6-week class. Today, I know people don't really like to hear numbers, but I'm really proud of these numbers. To date, we've had 562 graduates. 349 have gotten out, and only 21 have gone back. So whereas the national and state average of recidivism is 60%, our Gina's team recidivism is 6%.
Wow.
So that's huge. This is a program that works. And part of it is because it's designed and taught by an ex-felon. The other part of it is that the Athena leadership model has 8 really, really powerful principles that give anybody who's listening a foundation for their lives. And those 8 principles are: live authentically, learn constantly, advocate fiercely, act courageously, foster collaboration, build relationships, give back, and celebrate your traditions. So we're teaching those principles to our women, and it's working. And then when Clinton Global Initiative heard about it, we were invited to attend. Now with Clinton Global Initiative, we have committed to find, we've got this pool of women that are still in prison. We have committed to find 48 jobs in the next 12 months, one a week. So employers will be able to go into the prison and interview, pre-screen women that have actually already been assessed. They'll go in and interview them. hopefully they will offer them a paid apprenticeship of $10 to $12 an hour. And they will then know that when they walk out the gate, they have this apprenticeship that's paid, that will let them buy, pay their halfway house rent, buy bus passes, buy underwear. And that is really important. It gives them a safety net. We, Gina's team, will provide mentorship along with Thunderbird School of Global Management and ASU and Arizona State University. So we are working to make these women taxpayers, not tax burdens.
Mm-hmm. That sounds fabulous. That really does. Are you one of the few programs in the country doing this, or are there other people, and are you able to let everyone know how well this is working, or where are we in that kind of?
Well, we are. There are programs outside the prison, but we are, as far as I know, the only one that works inside the prison teaching a class. So you have a pool, a foundation inside, and then we're working with them inside before they get out. We don't know of another program. If there is one, we'd love to know about it, and they can contact us at info@genusteam.org, and they would let us know. I would love for your listeners to really get educated. They can follow us on Facebook. I would say Twitter, but I'm really not very good at Twitter. But they can Google prison reform and mass incarceration, and there are organizations out there like the sentencingproject.org, Prison Legal News, and rightoncrime.org, so they can learn where their money is going, because this is right. We're cutting school budgets, and we're adding to prison budgets. Let your state and national representatives know that you support revision in our laws. And then Google Safe Justice Act. This was introduced in June by Congressman Scott and Sensenbrenner, and they have a lot of ideas. It's a bipartisan law, but we don't know if it's going to, you know, there's going to be a lot of discussion. You know, it takes a long time for a bill to pass into law.
Right.
But meanwhile, say you have somebody in prison. Say you have a person in prison, and there's a lot of people that do. Connect with them. If you don't want to write a long letter, send them a card. Send them and don't send a card with like a little music chip in it that plays music, or, you know, has glitter on it or something. And prisons don't like that. Don't just send them a nice card. Send them a magazine subscription like Reader's Digest, because that's educational and it's hopeful. In 2014, Mary, I don't know if you knew this, but 68 million Americans were recorded as having a criminal record. That's from CNN. 68 million Americans. That's about almost a third of our population. So if one in four Americans has an arrest record, they're branded for life.
Mm-hmm.
You're bound to know somebody. I have a really good friend that's a judge, and he says that we are over-criminalizing and we are putting people in prison that we're mad at, and
right.
It's a waste of money. So here's a thought. If we're this capitalistic society built on business, and if we had businesses, say businesses were allowed to build a 60% failure rate into their business plan, like Apple Computer got 60% of its products back, or Mayo Clinic had 60% of patients die, they wouldn't stay in business. You know, that would be crazy. So why do we allow our prison systems to build in a 60% failure rate and say that's okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for job security, but it's not the best use of your money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've got to get educated. We've got to learn about these things and then get results like you talk about. I love that. I love the whole theory of your show. Get results.
Well, and that's the whole thing with the whole results organization, too. And, from when results organization started 35 years ago, there were 41,000 children dying every day of starvation and preventable disease. And now with us and Bread for the World and other organizations, too, UNICEF is saying 1,000 a day now, which is still horrible.
still horrible.
And we could do something about it if we wanted to, but going from 41 to 16, and there's been a lot of progress. That's why I said, you know, it could be good to have people look on there, too. And I think, you know, when you were talking about people coming out and needing a safety net and everything, one of the safety nets, I'm sure, is the SNAP program, food stamps. And
yes, it is.
We work to try to get them not to cut food stamps. They did make cuts this time, but not the way they were going to. We made a big difference in the amount and why anyone would think, you know, that we should cut from that to put it into something else and why they don't think that's important. It's one of the most unfraudulent programs, one of the most honest programs that we've got. And the results is also working right now to prevent cuts to child tax credits and EITC for the working poor, so they can take their child care tax credits. So that's
because these women, women have children. They have children. They are in our classes. They have about 2.3 children, 2.5 children. And you know how you divide that? I don't know, but they have children. They want to get their children back. They want to take care of their children. And we're not allowing that. You're branded with a number, so that it's hard to get a job. You have to be cleared where you, in most apartments you can't live in, because you have to check the box. It says, yes, I've been convicted of a felony. There are so many things that keep this pipeline to poverty and prison open that it's really awful. And I have to tell you one little story. When I got out, I told people that I had just gotten out of prison. I'd say, hi, I'm Sue Ellen Allen, and I just got out of prison, because I figured if I was going to lie, Google was not my friend. You know, you just can't lie. And so they would look at me and get this kind of frozen smile on their face and not really know what to say. And I thought, I don't really know what I want them to say. And one day I was getting gas at a Circle K or something, and a homeless guy came up to me and asked me for some spare change. And I'd only been out of prison about 3 weeks, and I didn't have any spare change. I was counting my pennies. And I said to him, oh, sir, I am so sorry. I just got out of prison, and before I could finish the sentence, he threw up his arms and he said, lady, congratulations. Welcome back.
Oh.
He was the only person that said that to me. The homeless guy got it. He was the one that knew what to say. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful. We need more people that understand this.
Yeah, we have to say welcome back. And we have to give a hand. Most of the inmates I knew weren't looking for a handout. They were looking for a hand up. They want, you know, it's that old adage, don't give them a fish, teach them how to fish. It's all cliches, but it's true. And they're desperate for jobs. They're desperate to become a part of the community. They just don't always know how. And I would really like to put this out to your listeners. I learned in prison that the most powerful thing, and really what I think is the secret of life, is purpose. It's not shopping with a purpose. It's not, you know, any of that. It's purpose of service. And whether it's helping women who get out of prison, or helping save the animals, or the starving children, or sick children, or the environment, I mean, there's so much need. But the thing is, find something that makes your heart sing. And that's just, you cannot do better than that. And that gives you a reason to get up every day. My husband died 15 months ago, and I didn't want to get out of bed. I just didn't. I did not want to. I was so grief-stricken. But I had my purpose. I had Gina's team. I knew the women in the prison expected me. I knew I had a job to do. And just like you have this purpose. You are making a difference. And our job here on earth is to make a difference and to be a, you know, to live your purpose. I think Marianne Williamson says something like that, that, you know, if we're with privilege comes responsibility. And that's what, but it's also, it's not, I don't think it's responsibility. I think it's opportunity. I think it's joy. I think it's, I'm so blessed.
When you do something for someone else, in the spirit of love, I think you find so much more joy than anything else. And like what you said, you know, Marianne Williamson will say stuff like, this life, it's not about you. It's about what you can do for other people. Nothing
That's
is good
right.
with what you want. And the other one that I really like is Marion Wright Edelman, the Children's Defense Fund, and she's on the results board also. And she said her community taught her that service is the rent that we pay for living on this earth, and to work for justice for all, and some other things that I can't think of exactly right now. But
well, they're two women that are definitely heroes of mine, and that is absolutely true. I just encourage all of your listeners to go out today and make a difference. Do something that makes, find out what makes your heart sing, and then live your purpose, because that really is, for me, the secret of life. That's why I say prison was a gift. I didn't love it, but I love my, I'm grateful for my life now. And
well,
you and I are blessed, Mary. We're blessed.
I know. I'm blessed to have found you and to have found our next guest too. And
you
didn't go into too much about how really horrible it was in prison, but when you told me that it was maybe 120 degrees and there was no fan and there was
no yeah, that was pretty bad.
Live through that kind of thing, that, you know, that's just, to me, morally offensive. It's just not right. And
well, people want to know what it's like in prison, they can read my book. It's on Amazon and it's on Kindle, and it's The Slumber Party from Hell.
Yeah,
and they
definitely
can read about it. It's not like TV and the movies, but it is a fascinating look inside. You will really feel like you are on my shoulder going through the day. So I recommend that. And they can go to our website, GinasKeen.org, and see what we're doing. We'd love that.
Yeah. I had that down. And then you said to contact you with questions, it was info@GinasKeen.org, right?
At GinasKeen.org. And we'd just be happy to hear from anybody who has a question about prison. Everybody has somebody now, you know, everybody has somebody. And it's a very hard journey. But I tell you, if you're on that journey with someone you love, try to do everything you can to gain a knowledge and experience from it, to use your voice, because we all have a voice. Use your voice to make a difference. Don't be voiceless.
I think the other thing right now, we're seeing already all this stuff with the 2016 elections. This is what's important. It's not important whether somebody is going to, you know, give the oil company what they want because they put them in office. And everybody going in to vote, and everybody must vote. They must vote. But we no longer are voting for a D or an R anymore. There's no Republican or Democrat. You go on there and you find out what their policies are, what they voted for, how they feel about incarceration, if they've done anything about that, if they've done anything about hunger and poverty. And vote for the people that care about what you want. Don't just vote for a party candidate. That's ridiculous.
Mary, you're talking my language.
People are voting against their good, you know, what they want, what they need, you know. It's just hard. And so we go and you know, visit the Congress people and talk about this. And there's results groups all over the United States and in six countries. But if you're interested in this and you're interested in hunger and poverty and incarceration rates and trying not to cut SNAP and trying not to get rid of Head Start when we need that badly, you need to join Results. See what Results has to say on their website about what we're working on. But everybody can't say, I don't vote. I don't like politics. I don't like that. It's everyone's obligation now, because you're alive on the planet at this time, and we're going through horrible things to do with climate change and everything else, and it's making people poorer. You know, they don't even have enough water, and we've got kids dying because we're not putting any money into giving them a vaccine for pneumonia or diarrheal disease, bad water. We could save all these kids worldwide if we wanted to. So just like you said, find something that's really important to you. And I also would say, if anybody wants to go back and look at my a previous show, I don't have the state right now, but I did a show on Kids for Cash. We're in Pennsylvania.
That was awful. Yes.
Incarcerated up to 3,000 kids, 12 and as young as 12, and he was getting paid millions for keeping this facility full that his friend had built. And kids were in there for something, like having a fight with a girl in school or something. And,
it's ridiculous. That's your tax dollar at work.
His name was Chivarilla, and he just got 28 years in prison. So,
good.
He's going to go find out. But anyway.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that you'd like to leave us with, Sue Ellen, as far as, just gave your info?
I just thank you so much for having me. I thank you for the work you were doing, and I encourage your readers to get educated and find their purpose. Oh, and read my book.
I'm anxious to read your book. Hopefully, I know you said you sent it to me. Hopefully, it'll be
Yes, I did. I hope it will.
It's part of my safe reason to finding things is I'm up north right now, so.
Well, have a safe journey, and thank you so much for hosting me today.
Thanks, Sue Ellen.
Bye-bye.
You
too.
Care.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks again to Sue Ellen for that. That was really enlightening, and it's really unbelievable the things that are happening that we really don't even know about at this point.